When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DGEN Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's the DGEN Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority coming at you with some more best ball content. I guess it's episode 2 of season 1 or however you want to look at it, but we're back again. Ryan Alexander underscore W is where you can find me on Twitter. Kev Steele and Maddie Dickinson joining me as well. Kev Steele on Twitter at Fantasy Wrath 13. That's child please the God, Kevin the grandfather. And Maddie Dickinson at Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter. Boys, we're talking top best ball stacks, underdog, and best ball 10s. Kev, underdog now live in Missouri. Have you gotten into some best balls? You ready to talk these stacks?
I am. I'm ready to get into it. The only thing I'll say really quickly is that the only thing I don't like so far about underdog, I like the fact that they have a 30-second window or a 30-second timer to draft, because if I just want to jump in and get one knocked out. But, like, considering it starts at any moment, if I'm not ready to do that draft at that time, because you can't pick your time, it's whatever it feels, if you're not ready, like, I just didn't like that. That's the one thing about best ball 10s that I do like, is that they have the option for 4 and 8 hour timers. So, if you're busy and you have stuff going on, you can still knock out best ball drafts, but, you're not in tune to that time limit. So, that's about the only issue I have with it. But I'm excited to get into some underdog fantasy, though. I know that.
Hell yeah. No, this is going to be lit. I mean, there's still a lot to be had there, Kev. I mean, the $10 tournament we talked about last week is open. People are getting into that. And if you can find the sweet spot of time to get a draft in, that's where it goes. We're talking about the top best ball stacks here on the DGEN Nation podcast. Maddie, I know you're the one that was talking to us about underdog there too. Have you gotten into any best balls yet? What are you looking at as far as stacks for yourself or for your teams? Or maybe you haven't gotten into any yet, but you're making notes of where ADP is at and kind of where the field is shaping up to be.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into any just yet. I'm in baseball mode at the moment, so starting to prepare for season long baseball teams.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I digress on that. But no, I am, like you said, trying to make notes on some stacks that are too cheap for where they're going currently. And I know we mentioned on the last pod that we like Indy as a group, so I won't really touch on them. But, just looking at, there's two offenses that really stick out that are for me, that are going to be at the top of the league in terms of scoring. And one is the Rams. You got Matt Stafford, who's going off the board around QB 10. He's going at ADP of 95.4 on underdog. So you're looking at almost double-digit rounds there for Stafford. He's got, good weapons in that offense, throwing to Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And then he's got second-year wide receiver Van Jefferson, who will be back and likely slotting into that wide receiver 3 role in that offense, stretching the field. And Robert Woods is surprisingly cost more for you to pair with Stafford than Cooper Kupp does. Woods is at 45.6 ADP, and then you've got Kupp at 57.4. Usually, Kupp is the one that's ahead of Woods, but so a little bit of a discount on Kupp there. I think people are, saw the ups and up and down games that he had last year, maybe get kind of concerned about his consistency. But I just want to reiterate one more time for best ball purposes that you want guys who have monster ceilings week in and week out. And even if they have a dud game, I don't care about 0 points because they're getting replaced with somebody on your bench automatically. Like, you don't have to make that decision. So I'd rather have a guy who scores 0 points 1 week and 30 points the next, as opposed to a guy who scores 15 and 15. And you might, the listeners might be saying, well, those both equal 30 points. And yeah, well, the week that Cup scores zero, somebody else is scoring, let's say, 10 points. So in reality, my team got 40 points across those 2 weeks. So that's just something to think about when you're drafting players in best ball. Shoot for high ceiling players. So really like the Rams, and even Tyler Higbee is a really cheap tight end that you can throw in there to pair with Matt Stafford, who we saw have some rapport with tight ends in Detroit. And then the other offense I like, going to come as no shock to you. You have to pay a little bit for them, a little bit higher than the Rams, but the Dallas Cowboys, the defense in Dallas is not going to get any better than it was this past year. Dak's coming back off an injury, and I think that's going to scare people off a little bit. Had Dak not gotten hurt, he was on pace for 5,700 passing yards. I think the leader in the league threw around 4,100. So that just tells you the torrid pace that he was on. You know, he's currently going off the board as the fifth QB behind Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, and Kyler, which is respectable. You know, I can respect those four ahead of Dak, but Dak was in a league of his own before he got hurt this year. So I think you're getting an injury discount on him in going around 65 ADP, which last year I was drafting all the Dak and he was going at like 75, 80. So it's not that much different than where he was being drafted last year. And his pass catchers are more of the same. You know, Amari Cooper is going to cost you. He's up there with the likes of Allen Robinson and Michael Thomas and all those guys. But if you're stacking, you definitely want to take a shot on him. CeeDee Lamb, he's going to cost you as well. He's up there just five spots behind Cooper. And then you actually have to scroll all the way down to Michael Gallup at 95 ADP, who is, you know, he's a key piece of that offense. He's got a good rapport with Dak. He's just like I was just talking about with Cup. He can have zeros and have ceiling games. Michael Gallup can have two touchdown games where he catches, you know, three passes for 90 yards and two scores. Like those are the kind of games that Gallup has in his repertoire. So I really like Gallup. And then the tight ends came on the scene for Dallas this past year, and they seem to be pretty cheap this go around too. So yeah, Dallas and the Rams, two teams that I'm looking to get a lot of in terms of stacking.
Yeah, Dallas is definitely a fun one. I was going to bring up the tight end if you didn't get there. But yeah, Blake Jarwin, you know, going all the way down at tight ends in the 20s, just because I think people forgot about him. Dalton Schultz is a name that probably people will think about. And then coming off the injury for Jarwin, I don't think they're thinking about that as well. But yeah, love Dallas. I couldn't believe, you know, I mean, Gallup is Gallup. And it's just crazy because before the CeeDee Lamb hype last year, he was going to be that dude that people liked and were thinking that was going to break out. And like you said, Dak is able to keep all those guys viable. Another situation like that, Maddie, when I was just thinking about this as I was drafting a team earlier today, was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it really comes down to me for, like, no, Ben Roethlisberger isn't, you know, what he used to be, but you can get him as a cheap option. And like, we know what that team's identity is. I mean, Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere. They're switching up the offensive coordinator there, but Ben Roethlisberger is Ben Roethlisberger. And we saw last year, like, he's going to keep these guys viable if he's able to stay healthy and the line is able to keep them upright. And Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, paired with him, like, I think those guys are going early, but nobody wants to take Roethlisberger as the quarterback. And if you've gotten, you know, a high tier guy and you want to take a chance on Ben, like you're saying, those boom weeks, like if Deontay Johnson and Claypool are having boom weeks, then Roethlisberger is right there with them too. So I think he offers some nice late round insurance there for some of your teams that are successful, because Claypool and Deontay Johnson are going within, you know, round five or round six in some best ball drafts, and then Roethlisberger is going all the way down, pretty much borderline quarterback two, quarterback three in best balls. Kev, how are you feeling about your stacks, and what's standing out to you in this realm before I get to my second option?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, at the very least, that at least, you know, avoiding the obvious ones, I think I start off with what, like, Jalen Hurts right now. Like, I was surprised how low he's going. He's going to QB 14. Like, I figured he would go higher than that. Now, I think some of that's because of the reports that we've seen about the possibility of Philly taking a quarterback with their number six overall pick, which I still think would be an absolute mistake with Jalen Hurts. But if we get to this point and you take a shot on him now, if you're drafting now and you can take a shot on him, like, he makes some sense to invest in, because especially because this is probably the cheapest you're going to get him. Because if we get past the draft and they do not take a quarterback, his value is going to skyrocket because of his ability as a rusher. Because if you look at the games that he played last year, when he actually started in those four games, he was a QB1 on all those weeks but one. And really, he was on pace in that week 17 game when they pulled him halfway through the game. He still scored 17 fantasy points that week, but 19, 37.8, 20.6, 17.3 through those last four games of the season that he played. He had over 100. He had at least 34 rushing yards in all four, but he had at least in the other three, he had 69, 63, and 106 rushing yards. So we're looking for that Konami code quarterback every single year, and he's probably going to be the guy that you're going to be able to get later, because most of all the other dudes, if you look at just a pure ADP right now, all of them are going within the top 10 to 12 quarterbacks. There's really nobody late that you can really look at right now to say, okay, well, yeah, this guy's locked in to somebody that I really want my hands on in terms of that rushing upside. He's kind of the only guy, because Ryan Tannehill runs a little bit, but, you know, Daniel Jones has some rushing upside, but nothing remarkable, right? At least in terms of as long as we're not talking about the rookies right now, which I am not. So with him, like, I think at quarterback 14, if you can get him there at 113th overall, and then really what it comes down to, he is such a cheap stack. And those are the guys that I have, because they're all really cheap stacks that you can go with. Jalen Reagor at wide receiver 50 right now. He's the only wide receiver they have being drafted. Dallas Goedert isn't ridiculous at tight end 8 or 91st overall. So I like both of those guys as options to pair him with, or you can even pair him with Miles Sanders if you wanted to. A couple other guys. One, I don't really need to get it that far into Wentz, still going at QB 23. I kind of wanted to pedal back and look to see where he was going after the trades happened, and we got some more information another week from advance. He's still going late. He's moved up. I think he was QB 27. Now he's QB 23. But that's still that is an incredible value on a guy. This time last year in August, people were drafting Carson Wentz as a top 10 quarterback, right? And this is, you can make a strong case that this is a much better offense that he's going into with one of the best offensive lines in all of football, with, you know, young wide receivers and Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell that are, Michael Pittman is wide receiver 43 right now. Paris Campbell's being undrafted, which is ridiculous to me. Somebody with his level of upside coming off that injury. So I like that. But Baker Mayfield's the other one that I wanted to talk about. He is QB 17 right now. Yeah. Now, it's tough, excuse me, because his other options aren't necessarily sexy, right? Because, like, Jarvis Landry and best ball, like, that doesn't do a whole lot for you. But he's going at wide receiver 33, and then OBJ, wide receiver 34. Like, I think that's actually a pretty decent value for him. If he can bounce back, stay healthy this season, because he's had the last 2 years, he's been injury riddled. And so hopefully he can get bounced back this year, because if he does, a wide receiver 34, that could be a really solid value to pair him with Baker Mayfield. But if you look at Baker Mayfield from week 12 on, I mean, 18.4, 28.5, 29, 21. He had the eight burger where they just crushed the Jets, and then 16.2 in week 17, right? Like, he put up very, very respectable numbers over that final quarterback 17. Like, he doesn't offer much in the rushing game, but he was super efficient last year. He was sixth in deep ball completion percentage, 14th in deep ball attempts, and then 12th in air yards. So, I mean, threw for 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns. So, QB 17, I like him as a late round guy. If you're going to take a shot on a guy late and pair him with, you know, some of the guys that he has, and you're not going to have to spend an incredible amount. You know, if you want to take a flyer on an Odell Beckham to bounce back this year, who's still only 28 years old, I think he still has something left in the tank. And I was surprised Austin Hooper's going at tight end 22. I'm like, tight end 22? I mean, we're talking about the tight end position is a fucking dumpster fire once you get past a certain point. So tight end 22, I'm about that life with Austin Hooper in the second year of this offense with Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, no, that's wild, Kev. Baker was some guy that I was looking at too, because I was looking at Odell because he was just going so cheap. And I mean, it's still Odell. I've seen a lot of slander about the guy on Twitter and things of that nature. But like, I mean, this offense is not better without Odell. You just can't convince me of that with throwing out Rashad Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like he's going to make that much better. And we saw Baker kind of get hot towards the end of the year going into the playoffs. So, I mean, if Odell's a part of that type of Baker Mayfield instead of the one who was struggling in the first couple of games of the season, that's nice. I wanted to talk about Jared Goff too, and I know that's not a sexy name, but just about where he's going. And we don't know the Detroit situation, right? Like Kenny Golladay is most likely going to be gone in free agency. We don't even know what's going to happen with Marvin Jones in free agency. So that's keeping him under the radar. But he is a guy that is kind of going outside of the top 24 quarterbacks there. The Detroit Lions team, like they traded for him. So maybe they do see something in him. And again, another late round guy. I feel a little bit more maybe confidence, not the right word with Ben Roethlisberger, but I've seen him, you know, kind of keep things afloat, and we just don't know what Jared Goff's going to offer. But like Maddie was alluding to, I mean, with the weapons that he just left in LA there, I mean, they're going to have to surround him with some pieces, right? So, you know, he was keeping Cooper Kupp afloat, keeping Robert Woods afloat, keeping the tight ends afloat there. Like if they can surround him with some stuff there in Detroit and you want to take a late option there at the quarterback position, I definitely like to get to him as well. Another guy that I wanted to talk about too was Ryan Tannehill, just with the Titans offense. I mean, they're still explosive there with the pieces that they had. The pieces that they had last year were definitely paying dividends in DFS. Maddie, you talked about Corey Davis doing the similar things as AJ Brown was doing. And he's a free agent now, it looks like, as Kev was telling me. But I mean, still with AJ Brown there, you can get him. I've seen him go in the third round of drafts, and we know that you're going to be able to get Tannehill late because people are thinking about Derrick Henry. And if they're able to get some pieces there, I still think Tannehill has a little bit left in the tank there. So a Titans offense that still is looking to be explosive in an AFC division that kind of is going to be beat up from a defensive standpoint, as a lot of changes are being moved there. The Jacksonville's getting young. Houston's pretty terrible. That division is just not, it's going to be very, give up a lot of points. I think the quarterbacks are going to do a lot well in the AFC South. So the Colts too, the Colts are good, but the other two are a little bit suspect. So I think Tannehill's Titans stacks are a little bit interesting right now, granted where you can get them. Is there anything else that's kind of sticking out to you guys at this point? I mean, or another situation, I guess, that I wanted to look at was the Chargers too, because I was looking at Herbert and where he's going, and Austin Eckler has definitely been a guy that I've targeted too, and to see if I can get him early on. I'm comfortable with having him as my RB1 or RB2, granted on where I'm drafting in the draft. But I just like the Chargers situation in general. I mean, Herbert definitely came on strong there with the Chargers. I think they, you know, trust them to kind of let loose. And Keenan Allen, he's going, you know, anywhere in the top 10 to top 12 wide receivers off of the board. But there's still a lot of situations to be had there too. I mean, with Hunter Henry going to free agency, Daniel Pardum was a guy that, you know, we could talk about in DFS and to get him as late. And so if he's going unowned, the tight end position is pretty ugly, you know, outside of the top three guys there in Kittle, Kelce, and Waller. So people are really trying to, you know, scrounge late. You've seen tight end runs go in best ball leagues. So if you can get somebody who's a flyer like that, if they don't bring Henry back, and even if they do bring Henry back, maybe you take a chance on him. Granted, he goes to another situation that could be favorable for him, but definitely the Chargers situation is one that I like too. Kev, what are there any others that are sticking out to you at this point?
I think the other one is one we've already talked about, or that's about last week, but was the Jacksonville stack. I think with Trevor Lawrence and his ability to as a runner, because I mean, he is a more than capable runner in his own right. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy that gets 200-300 rushing yards a year. Like, he's not going to be somebody that's like a Konami code, but he certainly has that in his bag where he can get you 40 or 50 rushing yards and a touchdown. And that is something that we obviously covet that raises his floor. And then the rest of the guys, I mean, DJ Chark is absolutely free right now. You know, LaVisca Chenault is absolutely free. So those are the two guys that I'd want to stack him with. Right now, I think Chris Conley and the for the brand, Keelan Cole, they're both free agents. So we don't have to – so those guys are gone. So there's a lot – we'll have to see what they do with free agency to surround Trevor Lawrence and those other guys there. They don't really have a tight end unless you know, love the kid Oliver that they have down there. I know Debro loves him. But that's really all they got right now. So, I mean, that's a really cheap stack that you can get your hands on that does have quite a bit of upside with Urban Meyer and that offense. That offensive line is very underrated. last year. They were one, you know, so I think a lot of people, they look at the Jaguars, they're like, oh, their offensive line's terrible. And I'm always like, no, actually, let's slow the pump the brakes a little bit on that. They're not nearly as bad as what people think they are. They are, I think they were like top 15 in most metrics in terms of adjusted line yard and stuff like that last year. So they were much better than what people give them credit for anyway.
Yeah. And that's going to be exciting too, with Urban Meyer being their college coach, coming in with a rookie quarterback and trying to establish that style of offense there that could, you know, be really beneficial for fantasy. Kev, before I toss it back over to Maddie, this really doesn't tie in with best balls necessarily, but do you feel like they'll draft do you think they'll bring in another wide receiver? Because I've heard kind of rumors about them trying to draft maybe a wide receiver that could, you know, hurt Chark, I guess, or it maybe LaVisca.
Well, it would depend on the type of wide receiver that they brought in. Yes, I definitely think they're going to be looking at wide receiver. And this wide receiver class is incredibly deep. There is a lot of wide receiver talent in this class. So, you know, whether they draft somebody, I think they could definitely look at signing somebody as well. I know people have talked about Allen Robinson coming back. I don't know if I don't know if he'd want to do that, but I think he wants to win a ring at this point. And right in February, he sent out the tweet, I want a ring, no cap. So I don't think the Jaguars are going to be doing that anytime soon, even though I do like some of the direction that they're heading. But I definitely look, they're definitely going to add another wide receiver. They've lost too many pieces there. They're definitely not going to draft one in the first round because of Trevor Lawrence. But this draft is so incredibly deep that at wide receiver that they could take one second, third, fourth round. So,
yeah, no, that's interesting. And even then, I mean, you know, if some of the main guys are gone, you know, some of the top tier talent at the wide receiver position is gone, that wouldn't make me too worried about Chark at all, even Visca to a certain extent. But if they were able to, you know, get somebody late who kind of fell off the board that people weren't expecting, like Jamar, but that won't happen, but Rondell Moore or somebody who'd be dynamic there, that would be interesting, because you would think that Urban Meyer's bringing in that guy to do something with Trevor Lawrence. You guys got anything else as we wrap this up? I know last time we talked about a lot of situations kind of being open and still not being resolved, obviously, and I don't know that we'll get that resolved in the next coming weeks, but the Carolina situation is kind of interesting to me. Denver's situation is interesting. Maddie, I know you talked about San Fran last week. That's being interesting. There's a lot of quarterback situations that aren't set that could definitely change the landscape of drafting, so to speak, granted on who gets there. And then not even to kind of take it off the rails, but Russell Wilson news came out after we podcasted last week. So depending on where he lands, that could definitely change the landscape. Maddie, what are your thoughts as we wrap it up?
Yeah, there was one other offense I just wanted to very, very, very quickly touch on. And we, on the intro to Best Ball Pod we did last week, we talked about taking advantage of uncertainty. And Ryan, I'm glad you just kind of segued into that. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of situations that we don't know right now. One of those is who's going to quarterback the New Orleans Saints. You've got Jameis Winston currently going off the board as QB 28 and Taysom Hill going off the board as QB 31. So no matter which guy you think ends up winning that job there, one of those guys is going to be fantasy relevant, whoever it ends up being. Taysom with his legs, if he's the starter, or Jameis, he can air it out like we've seen him do in Tampa Bay as a top 10 fantasy quarterback. So once one of those gets ruled the starter, they're going to catapult up to top 10 to 15 quarterback in terms of ADP. And right now you're getting them for half that price. So, and even looking at the pass catchers for the Saints, if you did want to take a shot on them, I mean, Michael Thomas is going lower than what we're used to for him, ADP of 28.4. Usually he's in the top 10 to 15 picks, which there is another injury discount there. And then after that, you have to scroll all the way down to Adam Trautman is the next pass catcher who has an ADP of 177.6. And then you've got Emmanuel Sanders at 189.2. Jared Cook, is Jared Cook coming back? I can't remember if he's a free agent or not, but if he's back, he's in, you know, ADP of 207. So, I mean, and regardless of who you're going to stack on the Saints, they're literally free. And the Saints, you know, under Sean Payton, they've been one of the better offensive teams in the league. So that's a situation I'm keeping my eye on. And even this early in the game for best balls, don't be afraid to take a shot on one of those two quarterbacks and run some Saints stacks, because you can pair them with literally anybody.
And I just want to say, surprise, surprise, yes, Jared Cook is a free agent. So
I thought he might be with Troutman being the next highest pass catcher behind Michael Thomas. I figured that there was a reason for that. So, yeah, Troutman, he's interesting. I remember he was DFS chalk 1 week that Jared Cook was out. So, but yeah, he's definitely a pass catcher. So once you, like Kev mentioned, once you get past the three tight ends at the top, it gets gross. So just don't be afraid to throw tight ends in your stacks with your QB.
No, definitely. And we'll definitely be talking about late round flyers. Actually, the next episode that comes out will be about, you know, mid-tier to late round guys that we're interested in. So definitely be on the lookout for that. I think that does it for our top stacks, Kev, unless you got anything to sign off with the people. It doesn't look like, yeah, no, we hit on some stacks there. Obviously, we're going to be doing this all off season, guys. So we're just trying to get the preliminary options out there to you and kind of what's sticking out early here as people are getting into their early best balls on Best Ball 10s, Underdog, and what have you. DraftKings hasn't even opened up their best ball lobby yet. So be sure to definitely check that out, as there's going to be a lot that goes on there once that gets going. But yeah, we're DJ Nation Pod. Definitely subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Hit us up on the podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at DJ Nation Pod. We love to hear from you guys. Just getting our feet wet, dabbling in a second episode here, talking top best ball stacks with you guys. We're going to be back talking mid-round and late-round flyers that are sticking out to us. But signing off for Maddie Dixon at Maddie DFS, Kev Steele, the Godfather at Fantasy Rat 13, myself, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W. It's the DJ Nation Pod, powered by the Fantasy Authority. We'll catch you guys next for the next best ball show. Until then, we out.
You think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Used to the way the war back. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.